What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
Here's what's coming up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Nick Turturro here on the Rich Eisen Show. Round of applause for our friend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
My fanship. I can't lose this guy. So, you know, if you don't sign Judge, I might be done.
Where are you going to go?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Nowhere. Nowhere.
Earlier on the show, UCLA athletic director Martin Jarmond. Still to come, Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Sapp. Plus, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air right now, live on the Roku channel. And we're on channel 210 on the Roku channel every day. And you can get the Roku channel on every Roku device that Roku puts out there for you. Samsung Smart TVs have the Roku channel. So does Amazon Fire TVs. And guess what? It's free on every single one of those platforms. The same with the Roku app. So you can watch the show on any mobile device you want by getting the Roku app and finding the Roku channel on it. It's very simple. I'm even able to do it. It's free there. And the same thing on desktop at the RokuChannel.com. Our number one included an in-studio visit from the athletic director of UCLA, Martin Jarmond. And Chris, you were roaming the studio space in between the commercial break between hours one and two. TJ and I looked at each other and we're like, kind of like that guy.
Very much.
I went higher register with it.
Definitely.
And the reason why is you can go ahead and give voice.
Actually, traditionally, I'm not a UCLA fan. So, but, you know, I liked Martin, man. He might have got me to turn my,
All right, add another pennant to the banner.
He might have been offended by that, not just because of the fact that, you know, you said you're not really a UCLA person. It's just that you have been able to fit many other teams under your tent. And he's just like, wait a minute, you're going to leave me out? I mean, you got 12 teams.
Well, I didn't say I was going to put the banner up.
Don't put the pennant up. Don't raise the pennant. But it was kind of, you know, I did like him.
I got the vibe from him.
And his UCLA Bruins bounced my Michigan Wolverines a couple years ago, the NCAA tournament. His roots to becoming the athletic director in UCLA go through Michigan State and the Ohio State, kind of would be just predisposed not to like him.
Also, I think you just solved it for me right there. You're talking about a game that happened years ago. Like, I love
years
college.
Ago. It's not two. That's just 2 years ago. Two tournaments ago.
I just mean in general. Like, I love college sports, but Chris and I talked about this today. I used to love college sports more than pros. And then as I got a little bit older, for some reason, that changed. So, although I still love college sports, I'm not as heavily invested as I used to be. And I think maybe that's why people like you who really love one team find it hard that I can like different teams, you know. But it's just like I have no problem. I don't, you know, I'm not going to not go somewhere on a Saturday to watch a game.
Yes.
But, you know, I still have rooting interest in these teams for sure. But, you know, I don't live and die with them anymore like I used to.
I'll replay that back for you on Sunday night in the middle of the Eagles Cowboys game.
Well, that's a professional sport, though, right?
Okay.
College.
So then, Penn State, you're not going to be as locked in as I am with the Michigan Penn State game that we're talking to Joel Klatt about in hour three.
I'm not going to be as locked in as you are. You you live and breathe with Michigan. I like it, but. You know,
I'm watching that game by myself. I'm Han Solo.
We're different.
Yeah.
We're different.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Han Solo.
This is a game, Rich.
Susie's going to be on a little camping overnight with two of the three.
Oh, nice.
And Dan's got a play practice.
There you go.
And so Dad's at home. Oh, by the way, you want to top of hour number two, Taylor Manning, the Eisen update?
Of course I do.
TJ over.
You're going to love this.
Yeah, he's not going to want to watch that game with me.
Hell no. No, I'm Han Solo.
You know, he said that? No, hell no.
Hell no.
Adams, that's got nothing
to do with
State,
you. Nah, stop it.
TJ Penn State. You can have a big party.
He would have to invite me. He would have to let me know where he lives. And so that's...
Here, I'll tease it. And later on this hour, I've got an update on my daughter's athletic career.
Yes. Oh, I saw something.
Okay. My daughter's burgeoning athletic career. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Warren Sapp's about to call in about 15 minutes time from Hawaii. He's coming up for air because he wants to chime in on the roughing the passer stuff that's going on in the NFL.
Be good.
I can't wait for this.
It is. Good. And of course, we'll ask him about the Bucks' ability to run it back. Our folks, I heard from this county in here. I put the Bucks on my top 10 of my. Power rankings. Are they on your top 10 power rankings? I haven't checked it out on YouTube
yet. We only get five.
We do five.
You do five. All right. So if you did 10, would you put the Bucks in your top 10 of your power rankings?
Good question.
I think so.
Let's just take a quick look at the standings.
Yeah. No, I mean, you've got four. Who's in your top five of your power rankings?
Oh, yeah. I think I did have them in my top five.
Well, TJ had them in the...
You had the Bucks in your top five?
No.
No, you definitely did. Not this past week. You couldn't.
My five this week, in reverse order, Rich. 49ers, Cowboys, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs.
Okay.
Mine were reverse order. Niners, Bucks,
okay,
Chiefs,
you did
Bills,
put them
Eagles.
In there, huh? You put them in four. That's a little high. I think I had them at nine. Yeah, they're at nine. Spot from the previous week.
What you said earlier, Rich. Now, you know, the first few weeks, and Chris and I talked about this, when you're doing a power ranking, you don't have a lot to go by. So you're just basically putting them in based solely on record. Now, week five, week six, we do have a bigger sample size, and now you can really...
That's your way of doing it. Not everyone has to do it that way.
Well, that's how Chris and I tend to do it.
That's okay. You know, not everyone's got to do it.
Bucks top 10, I feel like, but they're either... I'm with you, Richie. They're either 9 or 10.
Yeah, they're right on the cusp of the top 10.
Yeah. Vikings are better.
I don't know if the Vikings are better.
Ravens are better.
How are you going to... You guys were giving me such crap, and so many people on Twitter too were as well, that my Vikings aren't in the top 10. Dude, they got double doinked in London. They got a break from the Lions because Dan Campbell decided the worst possible option of trying to kick a field goal rather than punting or going for it.
Do you have the Packers in your top 10?
Yeah, I do.
So not only do they have a better record than the Packers, but they also
the Packers.
Beat the Packers.
I get it. So I understand that.
I'm confused.
Plus, I just go by what the Vikings fans.
Come on,
that
the Vikings almost
with,
blew it at home against the Bears after watching the Packers lose in London, knowing all they got to do is take care of business against the Bears at home.
But they won the game, right?
Yes, they did.
Oh, there you go.
They were up, and then they blew it.
but they won, right?
I see enough that I need to see more from the Vikings. How about that?
Yeah, but you know how this
goes. Your power
ranking,
you're not doing week six power rankings for week 15.
Yeah,
it's week six power rankings.
But I can't view things in just a little box, Chris.
Well, you don't have
a
crystal ball either.
I think outside of the box.
So your power rankings are really just a projection. This is Rich Eisen's weekly projection.
It's on the ground there, Rich. Go down.
That's what it is. Are you looking for the eight ball? Yeah. Is that what's happening right now?
There's only one way to settle this.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris.
Stupid argument is to go to stupid arbiters.
This is not stupid.
It's Rich Eisen's weekly projection.
Magic eight ball.
Let's change it.
Is my way of doing power rankings appropriate?
Definitely not.
Wow, drum roll.
And it comes up. Hold on a minute. There's lots of bubbles. I shook it too hard.
Oh, jeez.
Outlook good. Outlook's good.
I mean, that's what you said. We don't know what says that.
That's not an appropriate answer for the question that you asked the 8 ball.
It is because it says tune in for more. Okay? It means tune in for more, which is what we always appreciate here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love reading the comments, too, on the Rich's Power Rankings. They're like, I don't really understand this, but I can't wait to watch each week. And you're like, all right, thank you.
Outlook good.
You know what I love in the comments?
Outlook good.
When someone tells you you're crazy for putting a team in there, but not putting their favorite team in there. So I wouldn't have been crazy had I put your team in,
right.
But I didn't.
But
so
don't you still have the Dolphins in your power rankings?
I do, 10th.
That's insane.
Why?
They don't have a quarterback.
I get it.
They got Skylar Thompson.
Watch him beat the Vikings this week. Oh, baby.
Oh, God.
To just... put the exclamation point on this conversation. Watch the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson beat the Vikings this weekend.
Tua might retire. Like, what do we
watch it happen? Watch it happen. Right. Ping pong tables out. Right. Power rankings in. Outlook good.
But you didn't have the Titans in there?
No.
They're the 3 seed in the AFC right now.
Understood.
Okay.
I get it. I get it.
Do you?
I do. This is a tradition on this program. What we're about to do is a tradition on this program. Years ago, in the depths of the Pat Shurmur administration for the Giants, we had a caller from Long Island call in from at the outset of the season when nobody thought the Giants had a single shot in the league where all 32 teams supposedly have a shot. Giants had no shot. Guy called in and said this.
We talking playoffs or what?
And he never called again. We don't know who it was. We don't remember. And he has never called back. However,
we hope he's all right.
However, his memory lives on in the annual tradition of a segment that was years ago new, but we're running it back here. Chris Brockman, you have how many teams?
We have six.
So six
we have three
teams
from each conference.
Where you're going to throw out the name of the team,
yep,
and I will tell you if we're talking playoffs or what. NFL Films music, please. We have a drop. We got a drop. Go for it. We have a drop.
Playoffs?
We talking playoffs or what?
We'll talk about playoffs.
What a drop.
Playoffs or what?
Oh, you kidding me? Playoffs?
Oh, wow. Look at that.
That is,
I mean, you know,
it's top notch.
By the way, to the radio audience, we had logos shifting in and out.
It was like three car Monty.
You have no idea who's in, who's out. Someone was in, then they're out. Jim Morris Sr. and that guy from Long Island whose name we don't know. That's well done.
You want AFC or NFC first?
I don't care. I need NFL Films music, and I need to be put on the spot.
I bet you that guy's name is Long Island Jimmy.
Actually, someone tagged him in a tweet when we promoted the segment.
Really?
And he last tweeted us December 2020 that he was like, I'll call in next week. Never heard of him. I don't know what he's doing.
What's going on?
If you're out there, call.
Hope he's all right.
Hey, Rich, first up.
Yes.
The New York Jets.
Hey, baby.
Let's go for it.
Are we talking
playoffs or what?
Yes, are we talking playoffs or what? We're talking playoffs. We're talking.
When do they debut
playoffs
in the power rankings?
We are talking playoffs. Yes. Currently, right now, you're 5 seed in the wild card, right? Currently, you're 5 seed in the wild card.
But according to you, that doesn't matter where they're seeded.
They got a win over the Dolphins in their back pocket already. The youngsters are beginning to get all groaned up. Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall had their best games as professionals together.
That's true.
Together. Garrett Wilson hasn't even started cooking yet. The offensive line looks better. The defensive line has some get off. We just need the quarterback to just start getting better and better every week. And it starts this week in Lambeau Field. We're talking playoffs. Yes, sir.
Let's go.
What else? Who else?
Your defending AFC champion, the Cincinnati Bengals.
We talking playoffs or what?
We're talking playoffs. Yeah, we have to. Of course we're talking playoffs. I'm not taking the 2-3 cheese. This is a team that middle of December suddenly, you know, took off the Clark Kent glasses and put on a cape.
Did you see the video
December
this
just getting started
of Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow has such PTSD from getting sacked so much. Someone coughed in the press conference and he flinched.
Yeah, he jumped out the skin.
All right.
He didn't flinch when you almost spilled scalding hot coffee on him, Rich.
Here's what's going to happen.
That changed him.
You got the schedule.
This line has scarred Joe Burr forever.
Man, hold on a minute.
That and the coffee, Chris.
Stop
he didn't
it
even
stop
move
it
when the coffee.
Stop it.
It was like a Bounty commercial.
Guys, Joe Burrow's going home. He's going back to the Superdome. And I understand he's from Ohio, and all the Ohio State people say he even loves us still, too. Just listen to him. He talks about Ryan Day like he's his own dad. He's going back to the Superdome, home for Atlanta. They're at Cleveland on Monday night. Come on. Home for Carolina, then there's a bye. Then they're at Pittsburgh on a Sunday night. At Tennessee, it's going to be a tough one. And then home for Kansas City, just in time for the weather to get cold. And maybe they have, if you will, flashbacks. Home for Cleveland, at Tampa, at New England. Big game against Buffalo. How huge is that Monday nighter to wrap up the penultimate week going to be? And then they're home for Baltimore. They're
that
fine.
That schedule is impossible.
They are
second
fine.
Half.
They are more than fine. They are absolutely more than fine. And that bye week comes just in time in case if you need a little bit of rest and you say he's got the jitters, little ayahuasca. We'll just go down to Costa Rica, go hang out with Borianas, and go have some tea. Get back in touch with yourself and manifest the playoffs.
I don't know if I do
We're
that
talking playoffs. Keep going, Chris. Oh, what else you got?
Broncos country.
Or what?
The Denver Broncos.
Playoffs or what?
I'm going or what right now. I'm going or what? They might win this week against the Chargers, but I just see a little bit too much inconsistency. Yeah. A 2-3 right now. And plus, if they lose to the Chargers, that would be a significant deficit right now to try and make the division a possibility. And then they'd have a tough time of it. And then you got the Jets coming in, by the way.
It's going to be a home game out here Monday night, though.
It's possible. For Broncos Denver. Country shows up here. Yeah. Let's ride in. But right now, I'd go or what? Because I can't go playoffs for everybody.
You can't.
So that's the AFC.
That's the AFC.
All right. Now, we're talking playoffs or what? NFC.
NFC, the New York football Giants.
Oh, we're talking playoffs.
We're talking playoffs or what?
That's right. This guy. Come on, Stu Nod. Call back.
Long Island Jimmy.
Come on now.
Where is he?
I don't know. We're talking playoffs. Absolutely, we're talking playoffs for the Giants. Come on now.
Who have they beaten?
The Packers, they're going to have a nice, nice tie break for them to put on the table for the Packers if you believe the Vikings are going to win that division. Come on now. They've got a defense, as long as they stay healthy, that offense with Daniel Jones and Saquon is back. Has there ever been a guy winning comeback player of the year having played 13 games the year before? Because that might actually happen.
Probably not.
No,
he's not eligible.
What are the eligibility rules?
I don't know.
Honestly.
You can't come back from stinking.
We're talking playoffs. I like the Giants' chances. They do have a lot of – they got all three phases working. What else you got?
Whose house? Rams house. Man. You're defending Super Bowl champion. Los Angeles Rams.
For what?
Ship be sinking, bro.
We're talking playoffs.
Oh, come on.
You see, McVay said they haven't given their final offer to Odell yet.
Yeah, they have. Odell's not coming.
I don't know.
They gave away his number.
I think he wants to. That looks like somebody's like, come on. I want to come home. Let's go.
Why is he visiting all these other places,
though? I don't know. He's made it seem like he wants to come home. And this is his new
home. I mean, he lives here.
I just see too many. I know that Chris Long said he doesn't see the bones of a championship team. I get it. I just think they're going to get healthier. They got to get healthier on the offensive line. They're going to figure it out. They have too many talented people to miss the playoffs entirely. Like, what are you talking, 8-9? Don't you think 9-8 or 10-7 is going to make it? They're getting to 3-3. Carolina's coming in with P.J. Walker and Steve Wilkes assistant interim.
They can't block anybody.
They're going to get to 500 this week. Let's ride. What else you got over there? Who's your last one?
Last one. Kind of a big game this weekend. The New Orleans Saints.
We talking playoffs or what?
I'm going or what with them. They're just too damn inconsistent on offense. And did they rediscover Taysom Hill? Is that what just finally happened? Oh, by the way, you got a difference maker in this. You got a slash difference maker. You might want to use him. I don't know. Like Jameis, they try to go vertical. I know Olave kind of works there, in and out of the lineup. Is can't guard Mike defensively. They're really good.
Jameis Winston back at practice.
I think they lose this week to the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow's not losing in the Superdome, sir. I really believe that. And then I look at their schedule and I don't see it. I don't see it. They lost at Carolina. Okay.
That's
Matt Rhule's lone win in his final season. They lost there.
That's a tough one.
Okay. So there's a few stinkers that still to come potentially. And at San Francisco, at Tampa as well. Tampa's going to want to show that this whole they have our number thing is going to be a season sweep for them. I don't feel great about it. So I'll go or what there.
There you go.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
And scene. Hmm. We're talking playoffs or what? Good stuff, Christopher.
Great segment.
Thank you very much.
Really enjoyed it.
Let's
that.
Take a break and let's get Warren Sapp calling in from Hawaii. Hashtag Scuba Sapp coming up.
My tie too early for drinks?
Yeah, I think so. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain. It's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit. Just had a lot of fun on the Roku channel and more, setting up Warren Sapp's reappearance on the Rich Eisen Show. The Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is all lit up for the first ballot Hall of Famer who wants in on the subject matter du jour in the NFL. With all these rough in the passer penalties. Warren Sapp back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, 99?
Trying to find a way to live between heaven and earth without touching dirt anyway, Rich. I'm good.
Okay, are you calling in from the beautiful 50th state, Warren, right now?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I got invited to a beautiful Players in Paradise golf tournament by the OTA Golf Apparel, Swag Golf, and some Southwest Airlines and some beautiful other sponsors. Had a nice little charity event. The great Byron Scott, Magic Johnson's backcourt mate was here with me.
Okay.
And we had a real good time.
How's the golf game going? How is your golf game?
You know, getting better, Rich. I'm telling you, baby. You know what? Anthony McFarlane says when I do hit that drive right, it's the instructional video. So,
that's what I'm saying. I can tell he's been playing a lot more.
That's what
I got to work on that second shot. Bruce Smith tells me Sapp is the second shot. You're right, Bruce.
All right.
It's like pass rushing. It ain't the get off. It's the turn, the dip, and the rip.
It's the turn, the dip, and the rip, and then the not roughing. Right, Warren?
I can't even. Rich, what am I supposed to do? I think there's a handsomely paid offensive guard, and definitely the left and right tackle are handsomely paid. And then, the chip block that they do with the back coming out and the tight end standing there hitting you. I mean, they have enough people to protect the quarterback. There's no way you can ask me to sack the quarterback, strip him of the ball, recover it, and then I got to push him out of the way, too?
Yeah, I saw that play by Chris Jones. That was unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I mean, when you go get the sack call fumble recovery, I mean, nothing left but the touchdown. I mean, you hit three of the – four of the cycle? You almost hit for the cycle? Are you kidding me?
And he actually used his offhand to make sure he didn't put his full body weight.
The ground. But the referee is behind him. They don't have the umpire in front anymore.
That's right.
They've eliminated the possibility of somebody seeing it.
So that's why it got to be reviewable, right? Right?
Now we finna turn it. Now we finna turn the game in the targeting. In college,
no,
we'll never get out of it. We'll never get out of there.
Well, I'm saying, here's my fix.
How about the people that are paid to protect them? Protect them, and you allow the defensive tackles because they've taken their head and his knees out of it. So now all I have is his body to hit. And you can't ask me not to land on him. The guy in Miami tore his knee up trying to not land on the quarterback.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was there at that game. I was Rich. I was cursing at the kid. I'm like, how you get hurt sacking the quarterback? And then they gave me the, they can't land on him anymore. I'm like, huh? That's the pillow. That's a reward for rushing the passer. We have the hardest job in football. We don't know the play. We don't know if it's a three-step drop. We don't know if it's max protect, swoop, slide, double team, whatever they give us. We got to break through this and then go get him. And now I'm responsible for his protection. You got to pay me a lot more money for that.
Well, I'm again. You might have been scuba diving while I was talking about this on my show. Not that you're following me from Hawaii.
No,
but,
I do. You know.
I know that. But I'm not saying.
But I was cool. I was down. I came up for this.
I know, and I'm not saying that we should make this challengeable like pass interference was two years ago.
No, we have to do something, Rich, because it's just egregious. Because the one that happened in Tampa, underneath my stadium with my name hanging over there, oh my God.
That's the worst part about it, huh?
I mean, the worst part, that number 99 in your program, number one in your heart, sits over the top of this. And Grady, I mean, here's the best part.
Yeah.
If Tua did what Tom Brady did, we would not even be in this conversation right now.
What do you mean?
Tua tried to throw the ball, Rich. He extended his body up and then got yanked back to the field turf. If he'd have folded up like Tom Brady and went down, his arm would have hit the ground just like Tom Brady's, and he'd have got up, and we wouldn't even be talking about
it. Huh. I just want to make sure you're not blaming what happened to Tua on Tua, right? I mean,
Tua has some culpability, Rich, because once a defensive lineman like myself grab you around your waist, you don't extend up to try to throw this ball away. Because, first of all, you put yourself back in the pocket by going back to the right. So now you don't have the law and the rule that you're outside the pocket, the ball just has to reach the line of scrimmage. You didn't do that. You went back into the pocket. And then when he grabbed you and spun you around, you jumped up and tried to throw this ball. I'm telling you, Rich, he definitely has some culpability in this.
Warren Sapp.
When you play this game, I realize every 6 seconds that I might be in the training room or it might be over. That's why you take precautions in it. That's why you practice like you play. Because when it's the game, this is what I do every day.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Sapp right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so again, reviewing it, though, I want the Hawkeye, the officials that are currently sitting in New York City. No, I'm serious. The ones who are sometimes chiming in saying you should get that guy off the field because he threw a punch, or you should spot the ball on the 28 because the helmet got touched, not at the 34. You should make sure that's not called a fumble because his knee was down. That sort of stuff.
We're going to get the non-football people to talk about something that they shouldn't even be talking about, sacking the quarterback.
I don't know, but it's better. It's better than seeing the last 2 days.
It's better than what we got because that was ugly. That was ugly football. I mean, just ugly. I mean, you can't do that in Raymond James. You know how many quarterbacks are playing in that turf? it was unbelievable what we do. Me and Bruce Smith was on the phone, and Bruce was like, "Man, I grabbed Boomy Esiason and spun him around and just slung him." I'm like, "Yeah, I got a couple of those tombstones. I climbed up Steve Berlin's face and tried to put his helmet all the way in the Raymond James face. I'm sorry, Berlin, but it was what we did. I mean, it was allowed, and it was the game. And now they've taken the head and knees out. I mean, they get enough money to protect their bodies. I mean, come on."
So, let's turn to the subject of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You concerned about their ability to win it all this year, right now, Warren?
I'm concerned with my ability of my quarterback to score touchdowns because Tom Brady with that little number of touchdowns is something very, very uncommon to all of us. Is it not, my good man? Because you've been watching him since Michigan.
Right.
And it's the one thing he can always do is put the ball in the end zone. And more than that, I'm more concerned about our defensive tackles inside. We can't stop nobody. We can't stop the run. Green Bay Packers showed up and just ran for 8 yards a carry.
And that's been their forte, obviously.
No, we living off past glories when Sue and Vita was young and we were rushing the passer and we did some special things inside. We living off past glories.
How do you fix that? How's that fixable then?
You know what? And you know me, I watch the defensive tackles. Hakeem Nicks wasn't even putting his hand in the ground until the guy was in motion. I'm like, my God, ball's ready, you're ready. I mean, it was simple stuff. That was getting us in trouble. I mean, not even lining up. And then Vita Vea getting driven back 5-6 yards, getting dropped to his knees. Those are the first two plays of the Green Bay game. I'm sitting up watching this. I'm like, boy, it's going to be a long night. Oh, and then Pat Mahomes shows up with the most, you know, touchdowns in the National Football League. And then we, fumble the opening kickoff.
Not the way to do it.
We fumble the opening kickoff. We give the high-powered offense 15 yards. Really? Really? That's how we're going to start this thing off with Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy? No.
So then you look at the rest of the NFC, Warren. How real do you think the Eagles are going into this game against the Cowboys? How real?
Very much so. I mean, it ain't real. It's the quarterback.
Right.
This kid has two legitimate weapons in A.J. Brown and that Smith kid outside, and the tight end inside, and the running backs. And then he's a weapon where they can play 11 on 11.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Lamar Jackson, this is the most dangerous quarterback in the National Football League with his legs and his arm.
He is that good. He really is that good.
Oh, my God. He's putting that ball exactly where his guys can make a play.
And the defense is balling out, too. The defense is balling out, too. How about that kid, Jordan Davis? He's so damn huge, and he's so athletic. It's really impressive.
But he's got to get the heavy Chevy. He's got to get his gears and, you know, his angles right, because he's going to hurt somebody. It might be his own teammate. Because that thing get rolling, boy. Nice, man, listen. Fletcher. Graham 55 and the young kid 7. Who is that? The young fella. Oh, I saw him when he came down to Miami. Was it Simmons?
We're gonna look seven. That, number seven.
Number seven at the end.
Okay, right. And then you got Slay on the back end. Back. I know.
He's Russian. I mean,
Reddick. You're talking about Hassan Reddick.
Reddick. He's got a Russian mentality. Third down, he's a nightmare. So we're gonna see if number 73 in your program, number one in your heart. After getting Dak Prescott put on the almost on the IR for the whole season, they singing his praises in Dallas. We're going to see if he's ready to block this Sunday.
Is Parsons your defensive player of the year so far? Since we're going to see him on Sunday night against Philly?
What a monster. What a monster.
Is he the guy?
He's playing it right now. Mm-hmm. He's definitely playing it. Listen, when your starting quarterback goes down, it falls on the men up front on the defensive line because that's where it starts on defense, up front. If you can stop the run and go put quarterbacks on their butt in the National Football League, you're going to win games. And then Cooper Rush should prove to every NFL team a lie. Don't get rid of the preseason. They need it.
Interesting.
They need it. This kid came out of preseason ready to throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb in the number one position because CeeDee Lamb had a new position. And then the rest of the guys, he knows where they're going to be at because that's how he got his job. That's what I've been doing for the last month while Dak was chilling. I never had a problem playing preseason. Me and Brooks talked about this. We like, dog, what's wrong with going to work? Because nothing's going to get you ready to play a football game but playing a football game. You have to do it.
Before I let you go back to your Hawaiian times, because I heard you say the word marina in the middle of a conversation. I heard that sound. I've got places to go.
We're from the store to get the beer, and then they all look around in the car like, well, now where do we go? To the marina? put the marina in the GPS, please.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to chime in on? There's so many topics.
It's so much.
What do you
it's
think?
So much.
You, anything else you want to hit?
You know what?
That's on your mind?
I'm just going to tell all NFL fans out right now, that are looking at your football team that might not have a winning record or might be at the 500 or a little bit before 500. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers started 3-4, three straight years. And one of those years we went to the NFC Championship game and lost to Marshall and them 11-6.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lose faith in the first 2 months of the season because November and December is what we all remember.
Ladies and gentlemen, Warren Sapp heading to the marina in Hawaii. Hashtag Scuba Sapp coming up. So it's the hashtag.
Listen, little fella over there, don't be talking crazy, man, about them old stories, man. It's just I give what I get. That's exactly what happens.
Okay. Brady that, right? Brady that.
Yep, Brady that.
Brady that.
All right, baby, I'll let you.
Take care. There you go. Warren Sapp, everybody. Warren. There you go. He's out. Going to the marina getting beer at 7 in the morning.
How quickly can we get to Hawaii?
Not fast enough.
Yeah.
Not fast enough. Isn't that great how he's like, That Grady Jarrett call happens in my stadium with my name on it. That's the most egregious part.
I love it.
He's the only one that would think that.
How many quarterbacks have played it?
You can listen.
He was talking about Steve Berline, by the way, also.
Berlin.
Yeah.
Steve Berlin. God, I love him, man. I think, did Steve Berlin play when that guy, Joe Munich, played for the Niners?
I think so.
Okay, very good. You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Love. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. All right, we talk about two different types of basketball stories. Draymond Green and the Warriors, and my daughter playing her first ever basketball
game. Hey, I saw that picture, man.
That's next.
Let's do it.
Right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, if you want to chat with us. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, when you're up, when you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, guess what? You're opening up more than just doors. You are unlocking potential. And it's the potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success and blaze your own trail. Because each and every Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van that we've been talking to you about is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions and reawaken that spirit of adventure and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. When you own a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you get to live and work and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path that they're going to take you. They have 16 body types. You get to choose between a gas or a diesel engine. And there's thousands of ways you can customize your Sprinter van, making it capable and versatile enough to help drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now is the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. So Draymond Green's getting a ring Tuesday night. And according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Warriors wanted to make sure he was going to be around for that ring ceremony on Tuesday night. And I know I saw your reaction to it on Twitter, and when you read a report like that, you're thinking, is that really their end goal? Was that their motivation for making sure this gets put in a box so Draymond can open a box and be part of a ring ceremony? And I get that the Warriors would need for that to happen because if they have their ring ceremony, commissioners there and everything, we had Jeannie Buss on yesterday, and when I asked her about her favorite, you know, I guess, opening day memory, right? And she's like, it's whenever you get the championship rings. It's great that she couldn't choose which one was more special because had a lot of them over her years of being with the Lakers,
must
right?
Must be nice.
And so it's that special. And if Draymond wasn't there, if he wasn't there, then the ring ceremony would be about the punch. And well, your answer...
He did that.
I know that. And the repercussion would be you don't get to be at this event that you've been looking forward to and is, in fact, happening in part to his contribution. I'm certain that, and
he didn't play very well in the
just
playoffs.
You know, talking about, and this best dad ever son that I have here, it is a lot like parenting, where Susan and I have had many times in our parenting lives moments where one of our kids, we're planning something for a family event, we're planning something, you know, special, where we're going out here, we're doing that, and one of, you know, our kids violates a rule in the house, and we're put in the position like, do we really go through with making, like, do we sit this kid out? You know, on vacations, we've done that. And do we sit the kid out because of the violation? And we've done it. And it's the toughest thing you have to do. It's so tough when you're also the rest of the family goes and does it. And we have to provide like babysitting accommodations or find them or sit them out or her. Don't want to call anybody out.
we know it's not.
Stop.
Her. We know.
Stop.
Not.
Stop. So, and it's the toughest thing we had to do. And I'll tell you what, looking back on it, we're like, why did we do that? Because the lifetime memory we could have had is not there.
Well, you're teaching your kid that actions have consequences.
I understand that. And we've done that. And we go back and forth. And I think that's the Warriors had to go through with that. Like, do we go through a ring ceremony without Draymond Green? Or do we put this thing back together before the season where the page is completely turned? Do we put this thing back together now as opposed to going into the season with it? And the ring ceremony goes down and the rest of our lives, the video of it and the photographs from it, Draymond's not there. And you could sit there and say, well, that's his repercussion. That's your consequence, which is a parenting term that's used quite a bit. And so it's not an our problem. It's your actions that created this thing. And I keep using the parenting and family analogies, but in the sports world, and those do correlate. But when it comes down to it, the Warriors wanted to put this thing to bed best they can. Got to use those phrases. Best they can before the season begins. And maybe the ring ceremony was part of the impetus or a large part of the impetus to do that.
But the optics is they care more about not hurting Draymond's feelings than what he did to their teammate.
And I think they don't care about the optics as long as they've handled their business internally and everybody's cool. Now you say
put it all back together. This is after Poole puts his face back together?
Apparently, yeah.
I mean,
And Kerr talked about last night, Kevon Looney, he talked about, because we you know, you look at Steph as a leader and Iguodala as a leader and you look at Clay as a leader, the guys who have been around the longest, right?
Right, of course.
Kevon Looney, Steve Kerr spoke, you can't even use the word glowing terms, that he has helped quite a bit. And interestingly enough, somebody who mentioned Looney in a name about this subject matter, Kevin Durant. Durant was interviewed by ESPN, and I imagine this is all going to come out soon enough on video, unless it's not on video. Because Durant was asked, hey, you and Draymond got into it in Staples, the artist formerly known as Staples, back in the day, and you were able to put it to bed. And Durant told ESPN, that's not the same situation. Somebody got punched in the face. It's no comparison to that. Then he just kind of wanted to get off the subject, saying that's in someone else's locker room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Durant said, it seems cool. Everybody's back to normal. Draymond's playing the next game. Jordan was playing the last game. So I guess it's back to normal. And then talked about knowing how the Warriors handled things internally, saying, I think the best thing about the Warriors is their mantra has been, quote, strength in numbers, end quote, that whole time. And it's always been a collaborative effort with everybody there. So Steph is not alone in trying to gather everybody. He mentioned Iguodala's helping. Looney's helping, Bob Myers, the general manager, Sean Livingston, Clay Thompson, and just the guys that have been there are helping as well. So I'm sure they're talking internally as a group to see what's the best way to move forward. Says Durant. But that's the backdrop to this.
Yeah, there's a common denominator among all the issues the Warriors have had in the recent years.
Draymond Green, right? Well, there's a common denominator to all their ring ceremonies, too. And one of those people is Draymond Green.
Yeah, and you're showing him that it's okay. Your actions are fine.
We're
fine with that.
Or they really dealt with it internally and they went through it in a very intense way quickly.
It was so intense that he's not missing any time.
I hear you.
Great.
I hear you. And you have every yeah. reason to have that skeptical approach.
I'm not buying it.
Or one to think that it's wallpapered over.
Yeah. I just don't see the season ending well because of all this.
We'll see, won't we? We will see, won't we? Starting Tuesday night with a tip-off and that ring ceremony that Draymond will be there for. Now then, just mentioned Kevin Durant. His name was being bandied about yesterday at my daughter's first ever basketball game. Number 26 in your program, number one in your heart. Point guard. My daughter's got handle. She's got handle. I saw it. And there was a rumor going around that one of the players on the opposition was KD's daughter.
Oh.
And a young lady who was head and shoulders above everybody else strolled onto the court in the opposition uniform. As it turns out, I'm sitting there going, okay, so it's my daughter's first game, really? She's going up against KD's daughter? Is that really what's happening? For real? I know this is LA, but are you kidding me? Because I know I'm losing that battle of the DNA, no matter how much is Susie's DNA is in there, okay? Trust me, Taylor's getting the handle from Susie's side. So, sure enough, the folks in the building who were chit-chattering, one letter off, KG's daughter.
Oh.
Because KG strolled into the gym.
No way.
Yes.
He did.
He did. And I did say hello to him. It's been a long time since the days of KG, Are You With Me? Which is one of Stuart Scott's.
KG, Are You With Me?
Lines. I almost went up to him and said that if my daughter gets tired, we're going to send the wheelchair out for her to go to the bathroom. Almost said that to him.
Wow.
Would that have been a bad one?
You weren't really close to saying that to him. Right?
I was, actually.
Now, you should call me on things like that. Just, you know, well, when he's by me, and I'll tell you don't.
You know
don't
who looked like that. He could play today?
KG?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always had that.
Dude! He looked clean. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that was my daughter's first foray into... amateur athletics.
She had
you know who my dad is? The guy who talks about it. That guy.
She had fun, though?
That's who my dad is. Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. She's the number of shots she took. I mean, honestly, you know how that you put that cuff on?
What grade she in?
You know how you put that cuff on to get your... She's in grade school. The cuff on to get your blood pressure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When she put a shot up and Susie grabbed my arm.
Felt like that?
I almost looked at her like, tell me what my blood pressure is.
She
back rimmed one. She put one up on the baseline. It looked like it was going to swish. And it hit the front rim and didn't get a friendly roll.
Did she score though?
She did not.
No. She didn't Ben Simmons any, did she?
No.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah.
She put up from three. She's got a little Brockman in her.
Love it.
In fourth grade, we lost our first game 2-0.
Joel Klatt coming up. It was close to that.
2-0. I personally missed three layups that game.
It was close to that.
It sounds intense.
2-0. Our average score my fourth grade year was something like 12-8.
Bless the ref. Bless the ref. He let a few traveling go.
He got two.
But he did call two different 3 seconds calls.
What?
Yeah. Really? Called Taylor for an over and back, which almost got Susie over and back as well. She like called, but you got to teach them. You got to teach the kids. Got to teach the kids. You can't.
Yeah, I get called over and back.
You can't pack a lunch and stand in the paint. You
gotta
can't do that.
You got to let a double dribble go every now and then.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, quite a bit. Over and back. You're right. That's just they learn. 3 seconds. That's how they learn.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
No problem for that.
You can't just set up shop in the lane. You can't. Got to teach them. Another game today.
Back to
back. Back to backs.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Is she sitting out?
I don't know. My daughter is not load managed, sir.
Load management?
How dare you? How dare you?
I'm just wondering if she got real tired yesterday.
Her conditioning is great. She's not Kawhi. I'm not raising Kawhi in my house.
Well, if you raise Kawhi, you'd be happy if you were raising Kawhi.
Well, she does eat apples. That was fake, though.
Taylor being the point guard is not surprising.
She's leading the pack.
She's bossy, take charge.
Every single one of his teammates, as soon as they get the loose ball, they look right for her.
Yeah.
And she's never got left behind on vacation.
That's right.
How dare you? How dare you? All right. This hour, thankfully, ending now. All right. Joel Klatt, Fox Parenthood. Sports, talking college football when we come back.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.